Radio 1, The Inside Scene, the story of Britain's favourite radio station, BBC Radio 1. Read by the author, Johnny Beerling, who produced the first ever programme in 1967 and who was controller of the station from 1985 to 1993. Chapter 1, Context. In the 1960s, the radio world was a very different one from that to which we are accustomed today. For people who wanted to listen to popular music of the day, there was little choice. You either bought the records you wanted to hear and played them at home, or you listened to Radio Luxembourg on 208 metres in the medium wave. Its signal suffered from interference and it faded in and out in most parts of the country. The BBC had a light programme service which covered the country, but there weren't all that many all-record programmes. Housewife's Choice for 55 minutes every morning. Two-way family favourites on Sunday lunchtime, those were the big shows, but these were compiled from a broad range of records. At lunchtime every weekday there was Midday Spin, and at weekends Pete Murray and David Jacobs entertained for a couple of hours in the evenings. Those with experience of American radio spotted a gap in the market, and in the early 60s a range of pirate stations were set up to broadcast all-day pop music. Although they were illegal because they paid no copyright fees for the music and transmitted on frequencies to which they had no right, they soon developed a huge following, particularly among the youth of the country. By 1965, the BBC had started to respond, but it was a slow response and involved an increase in the number and style of their pop music shows. The overproduced scripted approach of the light programme DJs didn't match that of the free and easy ad-libbing pirates. It was hampered by a lack of funds, and I suspect by a lack of BBC management enthusiasm for this sector of the market. It was time to rethink the whole structure of domestic broadcasting. Broadcasting in the 70s was the title of a policy document which set off a reorganisation of the whole of domestic radio broadcasting. Instead of the old home, light and third programmes, there would be four national networks broadcasting broadly on generic lines. These would be complemented by a chain of local radio stations broadcasting across England. Thus emerged the following shape for the networks: Radio 1, popular music; Radio 2, light music, sport and entertainment; Radio 3, music and cultural spoken word; Radio 4, news, drama, education and so on. These four national networks were born on September the 27th, 1967, and of course that was the start of BBC Radio 1. This was the network which was to consume my life for the next 26 years. During that time, I started as a producer of the first ever Tony Blackburn breakfast show and finished in total charge of the network. From that position, I had a unique insight into everything. Chapter 2, In the Beginning.
Well, there we end broadcasting in the light programme, not just for today, but as it seems, forever. The light programme, that is, as it's known now, is closing down. But in only a few hours' time, the BBC with Paul Hollingdale will open up on 247 metres and 1500 metres and VHF. That's at 5:30. And then at 7 o'clock on 247 metres, Tony Blackburn will open and swing into our new Radio 1 network. We hope you'll be with us not only at 5:30, but if you like pop music, as it should be played and should be introduced, in this case, with Tony Blackburn, then switch over or switch on to 247 at 7 o'clock.
Those were the words of the late Roger Moffat, closing down the old light programme on September the 29th, 1967. On Saturday, September the 30th, Paul Hollingdale presented the early show on both Radio 1 and 2, starting at 5:30, and we were waiting in the next-door studio, ready to go. Tony had done all the tests with the technical operator, given volume checks on his microphone and jingles. To say we were nervous is an understatement. There were too many people crowding around in the cramped confines of that little continuity studio, and too many of them were top BBC brass. And there was a TV camera crew to record the event for posterity. It didn't make for a relaxed atmosphere. Although it was the end of September and the air conditioning was running flat out, it felt warm. As it got nearer to liftoff, I looked around the studio covered with Radio 1 posters, and I glanced at the faces of those present as we heard Paul Hollingdale introduce his last record. His show was winding down. Head of Radio 1 programmes, Derek Chinnery, was just...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?